In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. In today's parable that Jesus gives us, he gives us three things to focus on. One is an image of who we are. Of who we are as human beings. The second image he paints is an image of repentance. And the third image that he illustrates is about who God is, about how God is. So, how we are, how repentance is, and how God is. The image that he paints with the prodigal son of how we are is that we want to be independent from God. That we want to receive our life from God and then go and do whatever we want and live according to our own will. That we want to take all the graces, the talents, the gifts, the life that God has given us, and we want to spend it our way. Which usually means spending it on pleasure, investing in things that make us feel good, that usually make us feel good temporarily, but as the parable continues, lead us into a slavery. You heard the Apostle Paul say, all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable, or not all things are helpful. In other words, and then he goes on to say that we should never be taken slave under slavery of anything. But this is how we are. We start practicing basic things that bring pleasure, that entertain us, that soothe us in some sort of way. And in short order, these things become bad habits, and then we become slaves to them. And the slavery leads to an emptiness because the devil always takes more than we really want to give. It's not just that we give away our talents and give away our health and those sort of things. It's that we then find ourselves empty and longing to even be at a time when we could remember not being enslaved to something. Think about what you might be enslaved to in your life. Just ponder that when you have time. What are the things that I worship in my life that I'm beholden to? I mean, as a joke, many of us are probably a little addicted to coffee. Very innocent level. Seemingly innocent, I guess, because I'm not going to give it up tomorrow. It's a slavery I enjoy. But that's just one level, and then there are layers and layers and layers of things that if we contemplate it and take the time, we might find that we're slave to our own anxiety or to the grind, to being busy. So our Lord presents us with a clear image of how human beings are. This is what we do. This is it. He gives us an image of repentance. It says the prodigal son experiencing his emptiness, experiencing that what he is feeding himself isn't actually filling him, but that he's actually somehow debased himself. That somehow he remembers that there was a better time, a time when he wasn't a slave, a time when he wasn't starving, a time when even if he was just a servant of that time, he would be better taken care of. And he wakes up to this reality. Some would call this, he had an epiphany of enlightened self-interest. Because what he does is really about his own self-interest, going to the Father's house, is really about him feeling better. but it's enlightened. He knows that even if it's just for him, that it's still objectively better. Each one of us is challenged to have a sense of enlightened self-interest. They say this about various addictions, but there's this oftentimes, of course, in the very cliche classical models, you'll hear about how people are stuck in denial. They say or they think they don't have a problem. It isn't until there's a spark of enlightened self-interest, until they can actually see the depths of which they've sunk to, that the grace of God can wake them up, that they can long to be free of it, to be free and move in a different direction. And the prodigal son, he looks back to the father's house and he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go there. I'm going to say to my father that I've sinned. And he comes up with a whole speech and a whole intention. His intention isn't to be received back at full status. He realizes that he may just be on as a hired servant, but it doesn't matter because anything is better than his experience. Now, I just want you to notice in this image of repentance, number one, there isn't a whole lot of feeling bad. He isn't saying, well, I really feel bad of what I've done here and how I've wasted my inheritance in these things. Of course, some of those feelings are there. Some of those feelings have led him to wake up. But most of what repentance is turning back to God, about returning to the Father. In our Christian faith, repentance is always painted, almost always painted in negative terms. But it really isn't about that at all. It's simply about us acknowledging the reality that what we're doing isn't working. That the way we've sold ourselves into sin just isn't the best way. And now we want to go to God for help. We want to go to Him to help us, to change us, to grow us. And we need to do those actions that it requires. Not simply beat ourselves up or simply feel bad or feel morose or feel that we're bad people. It has nothing to do with those things. Christianity is a religion of joy, just in case you didn't know that. And the joy is about running to the Father, not about beating ourselves up over our terrible sins. Yes, you are all terrible people here, I promise you. Terrible, terrible. God still loves you for some reason, and He wants you to come to Him. And that should bring you great joy in your life. Now, don't look at me for joy, by the way. I have a condition passed down and inherited, and the expression is deep down inside, and you can't see it on the outside. So don't look at your priest for this, at least me. Now we come to the image of the Father that has been painted. Now, the image that we have, again, within our minds, within our culture, is that the Father would greet the Son and that He would mete out some punishment. He would punish the Son because the Son was wasteful and because the Son was insulting, taking his inheritance earlier. He would at least make the Son work for a while to pay off his debt. The Father, realizing that it was good for the Son to suffer, would make the Son suffer to purgate his sins, to teach him that you can't go around sinning all the time and come back and ask for forgiveness. This is the image that most of us, psychologically or otherwise, carry of God the Father. This is, of course, the popular gospel that is presented within our modern American society. Of course, none of this is mentioned in the parable. The image that Jesus paints of the Father is that no sooner than the Son returns, the Father runs out to greet him. This is the same image of the Father that's presented in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sin. God is in the garden saying, "Where are you? Where are you?" He is searching for them. The Father kills the fatted calf. He reclothes his Son. He forgives his Son. In the end, what does God say he's happy about? He was dead and now he's alive. The Father rejoices when you repent because you were dead and now you're alive. He was lost and now he's found. God the Father, the whole heaven rejoices when one lost soul repents, when we turn away from those things which destroy us, and in out of enlightened self-interest turn towards God. He receives us, he accepts us, and there's a celebration. Now there's one more image of a human being that's presented. One more image of how humans are. We have the image of the older son who is upset about the feast that's been thrown for his brother who's returned. That's also an image of us, to be envious, to be jealous, and to be angry when people who have squandered their lives are somehow received by God. And we have to guard against that because if we live a good life and weren't the ones who ran to the pig pen. Now, personally, forgive me for saying this, but I spent a little bit of time in the pig pen. And the real pig pen. Now, we all generally spend time in the pig pen, but some of us know we spent time in the pig pen. And some of us are kind of like, it wasn't that bad. You know, I kind of had a good life. Well, for those of us who have spent time in the pig pen, it's like, whoa, thank God. Wow, God has received me back. But for those of us who have lived straight-laced lives, you know, God rejoices in you as well, and thank God that you haven't sullied your garments, and thank God you've always been in the Father's house. But let's not also be jealous of those who have come who are more broken than you have been, because that's what the church is. It's a place for both those who are saved, those who are working on their salvation, and those who have to come to be enlightened. So, three important lessons from today's gospel. One is how we are, how the normal fallen human operates and sells himself into slavery. An image of repentance, which shows us that repentance is primarily about returning to God. It's about getting up and returning. It's about renouncing, getting up and returning only because you have enlightened self-interest. Hopefully by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. And the third thing, that our Father receives us back, that he is a loving God, and that he is willing to accept us in our authentic repentance and restore us into his holy family. May these lessons settle in our heart, and may we live them out in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. He is in our midst.